Well, I want to welcome everybody to our Tuesday noon Bible study. This happens to be Valentine's Day, so we want to wish all of the ladies, and even young girls and women who are listening to this podcast, a happy Valentine's Day. All of the ladies here are smiling and happy. We got some wearing red, and some got red lipstick on. We got red all over. So we're all excited about that special day of Valentine's. All right, so let us move on into our power book, the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And, of course, y'all know I'm going to rearrange this to the Acts of the Disciples, Acts of the Christians. And then we're going to put our name in some of these spots because we've had the baton passed to us to do Acts. Okay? There are things that we can do. It said greater works that we can do. And one way that we can do them is when we get the Holy Ghost. So here it is, the Acts of us. But we're reading here out of the Bible, the Acts of the Apostles. All right, so we left off with verse 8, and we're going into 9. So I will back up to 7. And it says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. And let us understand that it's not about our reasoning, our psychology, our thought processes to have a regulation of when God ought to do something, when things should happen. But if we allow the Spirit of God to minister to us and prepare us, then we can move forward in that. If we knew a lot, then where would the faith be to move into it? So a lot of times God has us to do things and we have to do them by faith and then understand that we've been given the power to fulfill all of the requests that God has made for us. And I like that. So, yes.
When you say we start in it?
8.
Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
We went farther than that.
He just backing up.
Oh, you just
to bring it.
Up. Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to get it all in line. It won't take long for us to catch up.
All right.
But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And is that not our job today?
Right.
Our job is, and how can you reframe that for you today? It's my home, it's my job, and it's everywhere that the soles of my feet shall tread upon. Right?
Right.
Everywhere we can go. And when he had spoken these things, then they beheld that he was taken up, and while they were looking, we saw two men that were standing there in white apparel. We had a good time with the two men standing there. So here again, in the mouth of what? Two or more witnesses, let it be established, right? So has not God established and crossed every T and dotted every I and fulfilled all of the things that were supposed to be done in the scriptures? I mean, so even if some people may say, well, I don't have enough evidence, I don't have enough proof, there's ample enough. And sometimes it's how much is enough. If you want to go 5 miles, they want you to go 10, you know. So a lot of times you go with what you got and that's good enough. And then the rest of it, we have to stand on by faith.
Amen.
And said, why stand you here gazing into heaven? That same Jesus which was taken up shall come back in like manner, and you shall and see him go as you have seen him go into heaven. Of course, this is our hope. Know that he will return to get us, me, you all of you all who are named the name of Christ. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount, which is called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. We talked about how long was that? 24-hour journey, mm-hmm. Right? It's usually from evening to evening, so we're talking about a 24-hour journey. All right? They went up into the upper room and abode. We went on down to 14, and the question was raised. It's interesting that women were in there praying with them because women weren't really allowed at that previously. And so we discussed that. This was a time they were all commanded to go do that. So that's what they did. They did as they were commanded. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst and said the number named together was about 120. So that's where we got the 120 was in the upper room. 8:16, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake from before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. All right. Here's one scripture I have on that. Psalms 109:8. Can somebody get that for me while I just kind of move on a little? We'll kind of back up to it. Psalms 109:8. Verse 17 says, "For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry." 18. "Now this man purchased a field with the reward of his iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels burst out." All right, we talked about that. He took the money, bought the field, and in buying the field, he fell head first. But headlong means it's kind of, most times when people fall out or pass out, they go in different manners. Some people, when they're standing, they just, you know, fall flat. Some fall back. I saw not too long ago the guy fainted in the chamber of Congress, halls of Congress. He was leaning forward. When he passed out, he hit his head, boy, and rocked back. So it depends on how you are when you pass out. But they said he went headlong. Headlong is when you just fall straight ahead, burst into something, and his bowels, his whole insides burst out. 19. "And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in their proper tongue Acedama, and that is field of blood." Not only his blood, but blood was shed because of the money spent. Right?
Right.
The sacrifice that was made. Question.
It just occurred to me, since Jesus' crucifixion and all of that was already pre-prophesied, I can't think of the man's name, the disciple's name. What's his name, Judas?
Judas.
Could he really be judged wrong because he didn't have really no choice? It was prophesied.
We've already been through the part about that part. You want to go over it again? It's not for us to judge whether, and if maybe I didn't let you finish. Are you saying he's not to be judged as of what?
Choice that he had been chosen to betray Jesus, because it had been prophesied hundreds of years before he was born.
Okay, and your point is?
My point is, correct me if I'm wrong, it seemed like God appointed him to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so now, I should have had this one read for you. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, God made the smith that blow the coals. In other words, everybody and everything that's been created has been created for God's purpose. We may not understand or have not an idea about why that particular purpose was, but that was what he created. So by him being the righteous judge, he's the one that makes the decision about whether what was done right or wrong. He's the judge of right and wrong. All right. The fact that a person betrays somebody is always a choice of betrayal, whether the deed and how the deed gets judged is judged by the righteous judge. So it's not for us to say how harsh or whether a person should or should not have done anything. That's between them and God, and God is going to make the decision. I went back and showed you the scripture where the disciple was asking Jesus about you dealing with me about whether I love you or not. There's John. He said, "Well, don't you worry about John. You worry about what I'm telling you to do. You worry about what your assignment is." And whatever I tell John and whatever John do is I'm going to deal with John because John and I got this arrangement. So this is pretty much the same scenario.
In other words, he still had a choice regardless.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, let me give you another one. I got several in mind, but I'll let Professor go ahead.
I don't think it had to be Judas, the name, because I don't remember seeing the name Judas as being the one who was going to betray him in the Old Testament. But he's the one that did it. It could have been Reuben.
Okay.
The point I'm making is, if you are the one that decide to do it, that's why your name is put there.
Okay.
That's the choice that Minister Alfred is talking about.
And but he chose his disciples. He chose Judas.
He did.
Yeah.
We also forget that God is all-knowing, he's all-powerful. Mm-hmm. He knows the end before the beginning. God already saw everything that was going to happen.
Yeah,
he already knew it. That's what we got to get in the mind's mm-hmm. sight, because we're thinking in the natural flesh as we read the scriptures, but mm-hmm. as we go back, he's already told us, even today, of things to come. The things that are happening now, we are the ones living it, but he told people a long time ago who are dead and gone, these things will come to pass. But now we're the people in it. Mm-hmm. So he's already given us this story, the end, before we've already experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're reading the Bible, so we can know of things to come.
Mm-hmm. Just like in Revelation.
Right. And we won't get disheartened. We won't get dismayed. Because he's already told us, and he's told us how to run the race, how to maneuver through it. And these things are going to come. Now, whose name is on it, like Elder Beatty say, it could be anybody's name, but it's coming to pass because it's scripture.
Another scripture where it says, my friend whom I love mm-hmm. and ate at my table raised up his heel against me. He didn't mm-hmm. say it was Judas. This was said that somebody in this group gonna do it. The name was Judas.
Right.
Judas was the one that did it.
And he even asked in that same scenario, when they asked, is it I?
Right.
Right.
They kept asking.
Who is it?
Is it I?
Is it I? Don't want it to be me.
Is it I? Because they didn't know who was gonna be the one that did it.
That's right.
And I want you to have another idea about it. When the scripture said these things must needs be, then everything is happening because it needs to happen. All right. Who's involved with it is immaterial in a way. What we're looking at is the fact that what had to be done in order for him to be betrayed, in order for him his life to be taken. All of the lies that were told, all of that was necessary and validated the fact that truth was disrespected. Because in the beginning, as by one man, sin came in. One man disobeyed. It come back on the second end, one man obeyed. And by this one man, many could be made righteous. So there's a lot of people that was involved. I'll take it to another one. Every time that the children of Israel got in trouble, it said in there, God raised up an enemy to come and get them.
Mm-hmm.
Did he not?
Oh, yeah.
You know, every time they got too high and mighty, he said, okay, I'm going to have to show y'all what it's all about. God's hands sometimes seem heavy, right? Well, he said, well, why God got to send these folk in there to enslave them, kill some of them, and treat them bad? Well, number one, because they were hard-headed, stubborn, and wouldn't do what they needed to do. So you back all that up. You look in there where it says, God turns Pharaoh's hearts. Did he not say, the heart of the king is in my hand? I turn it whatsoever way I want. Mm-hmm. We could be the same way. We could say, well, how can we judge? You know, why Pharaoh get this? Well, you know, a lot of this stuff has to happen. And to validate Betty's point, when you look at how God sits above time, right?
Right?
He already knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. So him setting things in motion saw and set into motion everything. So I look at myself for an example. I'll use me. I say, when I was born, I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask for the parents that I got. Neither did I ask for the gift that I possess. But yet God had in his mind that he called my name. He called my name again and I answered. And not only that, he knows everything that I'm going to do all the way down to the last day. He even know the number hairs on my head. Right? So I can't be trying to say, man, how come I got to go through this? How come I got to deal with this? How come somebody else can't deal with that? Well, he saw all the way down the line, all the way till the end, that I would, when I got the call, accept the call. He knew I was going to stumble and fall. And what did he give me?
Grace.
Right? And the Holy Ghost to keep me in check all the way down, because he saw, as he looking down through time, this country boy from Birmingham, Alabama, was going to do part of what he told.
But now, did you let God choose your wife, or did you choose your wife?
See, that has nothing to do with this calling that I got on my life. You talking about a personal choice. Okay.
Because it's one thing I've learned with two husbands, I didn't wait on the Lord. It was who I chose and not... Instead of praying to ask God to send me who he wanted me. And like my son said, he prayed for his wife. So that's why I was asking.
Okay, now ask me that again.
I was asking you, did you choose your wife?
Yes, I did.
Or did you allow God to choose?
No, God didn't choose nothing for me on this one. God gave me enough information about her so that I could make a qualified decision.
Okay.
I made the decision. I did. He gave me enough information, because he gave me enough information the other times too. I just overrode the information that he gave me. Now I'm gonna be honest. A lot of people have the wait. Now I'm just being. No, we being honest. God will give you everything that you need. You choose in the midst of all that information whether you're gonna go past what he gave them or not. It could be because you like the way they look, because you see whatever it is. But in other situations, I saw stuff, I went right past that. This time, when I saw everything, I made a quality decision that this was enough information to go for it. And I saw enough. I wasn't gonna override anything. I didn't see enough to override. Mm-hmm. All right. This was the first time that wasn't enough for me to say, oh, I'm going to go ahead on and do this. It all lined up. So I made the choice. I don't think God made the choice for me. I don't think God makes the choices for us either way. But he'll give us enough information to where we make the choices, and then we have to live with the choices that we make. Because you can't say God didn't tell you. He said, before anything happened to you, I'm going to let you know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then you choose whether you're going to deal with it or not. A lot of people, if they be honest, God done put a red flag up there, but then they just go right on past the flag. See, that's all I'm just saying. But this time I just had enough positive to where I just went ahead and said this is a winner here, and that wasn't a whole lot of hurdles to jump. So I moved on.
Estelle, all right. I'm gonna go back to it. I know your question was why God did this. Why would he do this? When we go back to, like he said, the garden, go back to the first beginning, God did not design this world to operate like it's operating now.
Yeah.
That was not his choice. He designed a world where we wouldn't want for anything. We would be clothed. We would be fed. We wouldn't know that we were naked. We would have peace. That's the world he designed for us. But it was man's disobedience that brought the sin in here. Mm-hmm. So we have to think about that every time we read scriptures and things are happening. That was not God's will for our life.
But because it did happen, God has made a way for us to finish it out. Because believe it or not, this world as we know it will end, and we're going to have a new world order.
Right.
One where he going to be in charge. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So that's why the book of Revelation is there to let us know there is a time and that we'll be the end of a season.
Right.
All right. And let's move on. Yep. Let's go to 21. And therefore, these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. 22. Beginning from this baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. All right. We're looking what we're having right here in this particular section as we're moving forward is they're getting ready to replace Judas. All right. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we are. Mm-hmm. All right. They're getting ready to replace him. All right. 23. And they appointed to Joseph called Barsabas, whose surname Justice, and Matthias. All right. 24. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether one of two thou whether of these two thou hast chosen. 25. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. 26. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Yes.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be.
That's all right. This is a Bible. This is.
All right. It's 22. The disciples determined the two men were qualified. What were the qualifications?
They were talking.
What made them qualified?
They were witnesses. Let's back it up. All right. Of these, therefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that what? The Lord Jesus went in and out among us. This is it right here. This is the qualification. They're going to pick men that were with them, that had went in and out. All right. Now you move into 23. Beginning from the baptism of John until that same day that he was taken up from among us, must one be ordained to be a witness. Listen to this. Witness with us of his what?
Resurrection.
So this is it right here. They're setting it forth. They're saying, we're going to have to choose somebody. And what we're going to need to do is have somebody that's been with us. They've been a witness. They've traveled. And they've seen him come in. They've seen him go. They've seen a lot of things happen. And they've seen him been taken away. Right?
Right.
So this is it right here. And they appointed two, and they named the two. So they named the two. So they fit the qualifications.
Do we ever hear any more about these two men?
We getting ready to move on to get the power so that we can be doing what we got to do. All of these disciples got different things that happened to them. You know, afterwards, now whether they named what each one of them, how they met their demise or whatever, they didn't talk about all of them. They gave some was boiled and oil, some was died upside down. We'll get to that. We're gonna get into what happened to them. But whether they called Matthias' name out or not, I ain't ready to get into it right now. We'll you only need one of their names anyway, one by one chosen. Out of the two, so what happened to the other one? He probably went, you know, stayed following. Most people ain't gonna leave because they don't get to be chosen, be with the 12. He was a follower, even though he wasn't chosen to be among the 12 the first time. That's why they picked him. They had many guys and ladies that were following in the struggle, as I call it, but they called it in the way. They used to call it in the way. That Christian word.
I ask a question.
Sure.
Is witness synonymous with martyr?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, what about in the case of these 12?
When we talk about witness here, we're talking about those that were there to see and to have a testimony that they would that they could testify about Jesus. All right, because what they wanted, they had each one of these. Okay, you remember when Paul came on the scene, and they were saying, "Look, Paul, you can't be an apostle because you wasn't there." Mm-hmm. You see what I'm talking about? This is the same type of mindset that they had. They said, "How you think you're gonna be an apostle?" And then they start saying, you know, you were zealous and coming against us and everything. And he said, "Look, I met him on the road, right?" So he started telling them the experiences and everything. And once he did that, they said, "Well, you know, now we can see that, you know, you got enough experience, and we now gonna bring you into the fold, mm-hmm. or this group." So I'm just saying there was a lot of people that were following and that were close, but this witness that they talking about right there is he actually witnessed his presence and his going up. He was at the exact moment. Paul did not. He just met him on the road to Damascus. Of course, he saw the light. Well, we know the story, knocked him down and all of that. So, all hearts and minds clear. Let's move forward. All right, so they got the 12 back. All right, now here we come, chapter 2. This is where we get in. This us now. We can get into this part. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty rushing wind, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm going to stop. All hearts and minds are clear.
I think we're waiting on what you finish at.
I'm glad he made that statement. Now, these first four verses, how can you apply what you see here to today? How can you put yourself in here? Or how do you see yourself in there? Or how do you see this whole first four verses playing a part in your life as receiving the Holy Ghost? Because I like to, it's one of your first times. I like in any time that you're studying the Bible, you understand that God's speaking to you. This Bible, anytime we read it, it's speaking to us. It's showing us a picture of how he spoke to them. And so the baton has passed from them to us. You know, we're here now. We're the disciples. We're the called out ones. We're the ones that need to have everything that they had and some. Sure.
I actually had a situation happen to me at the beginning of last year where this came to life.
Okay.
I was talking to a cousin of mine in Kansas City, Missouri, and just sharing with him about how, you know, the Lord had been dealing with me and some of the things that I've had the opportunity to see. And my cousin started sharing with me some of the things that he was going through. And when he shared with me, the Lord just had me start sharing just little snippets of scripture with him. And as I did, the more I would express to him, the more he would say, I need that, I want that. I mean, the things that I was saying to him were so on point. that he acknowledged what I was saying, and we ultimately got to the second chapter of Acts, because I shared with him, I said, have you received the Holy Spirit, you know, since you've believed? And he said, well, you know, I'm talking to my pastor about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what did your pastor tell you? He said, he told me to read second chapter of Acts. So I said, well, why don't you read it to me? And he read it to me. And then when he read it to me and we got to the part to where it said that, the, you know, everyone in the upper room was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is what I want, cuz. He said, cousin, I need this. And I said, well, this is God's promise to you. And within a moment or two, the Lord took over, and I heard him scream and start speaking in tongues. And then when I heard him do it, it impacted me, and I did the same thing, you know.
Okay.
It was like the Lord just really had unfolded the scripture before me.
Okay.
So I became a witness of what it meant for the Holy Spirit to overshadow. And he just so happened to be up in his upstairs bedroom.
Mm.
At the time, you know? I mean, everything just kind of played
right,
you know, line upon line. And I mean, as a result of that, that just skyrocketed my faith in the Word of God. Because I know that this thing is real.
Right.
You know, and no one can take that. Yeah.
And the thought, too, one accord.
Yeah.
You were both
yes,
in one
we were.
Accord. Which is what I was going to mention.
Amen. Amen. I mean, I'll never forget that as long as I live. And I'm constantly reminding him of it.
Right.
When we talk, you know, just so I can see where he is.
All right.
Can you read the first verse? I want to see, because my Bible is a little bit different. Could you just read the first verse?
It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
They were all in one accord.
In one place.
Are we talking about these 120 people?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Now, I want you to understand this. There are several aspects in here. Number one, fully come. There's a time allotted in life where you are going to be granted an opportunity to receive from God. The kicker is, are you ready and in that place to receive it? Sometimes you can miss it and God will give you another opportunity to be in another place at another time, and it can happen. I remember being young, being in a lot of situations. It seemed like it might have been the right time. I didn't respond, but I did when the time was fully come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to understand that there's going to be a time, and if our expectation is that it's coming, the better chance is going to come. Now, what was the expectation that they had? The expectation that they had was that they were going to receive it. He had told them to go and wait until it was time.
Mm-hmm.
And were they obedient?
Yes.
And what were they doing? They were praying.
They were praying.
We were even talking about, even women was in there.
Right.
And he's like, man, here it is. Why are these women in there? Because they were told to go. And when it said it was numbered, how many was told to go and how many went, it was 120.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the interesting points is they didn't know what the Holy Spirit was going to do, except give them power.
Right.
Okay. And another significant point, Pentecost was a annual Jewish day. In other words, this happens, it's still happening now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, and it was required that, you know, all the men would come to Jerusalem,
mm-hmm,
and present themselves on Pentecost. So that's why I know I'm getting ahead of you. But if we continue to read, you'll see that it was Jews from all these different countries. that were there. I know Africa. I'm not going to steal this stuff. I'm letting it go, y'all.
But that's good, because I want us to understand that God has got a plan and a purpose. And if we would just be obedient and pray, God is going to do with us what's necessary. What always changes the situation is when we get out of order. And one reason we can get out of order is if our prayer life is out of order. If we're not lining up with God, if we're not praying, if we're not seeking His face, if we're not in an air of receptivity, and I'm just going to add this, expectation. Do we pray and then expect for something to happen, or do we just pray because that's what we do? Do we get up in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to go through my routine, I'm going to get on the prayer line, and I'm going to do this because this is what we're doing. This is what's been required. I'm going through, you know, what's required. I'm going to do what's necessary. Or are you expecting for God to meet you on that prayer line? Are you expecting when you get on that prayer line that your prayer is going to make a difference? Are you expecting when you get on that prayer line that somebody's going to be praying and that prayer touch you and affect your heart? You know, it's all about expectation, is it not?
Yes.
The woman that had the issue of blood, she expected and was convinced in her mind when she get low, y'all do know why she had to get low, right? Number one, she was already bleeding and could have got stoned to death. Mm-hmm. And number two, there were men around, and she needed to be back here. She mm-hmm. wasn't pressing forward mm-hmm. through them men at no time. Mm-hmm. So she got low and come on down between the feet there, because she was going to get in trouble either way. But she said, hey, I don't have nothing to lose. Are we at a point of where we don't have nothing to lose? I'm just asking a question.
That's good.
I'm just saying, here we are. Number one, are we obedient? Number two, do we have that expectation? We got to have the expectation. We got to.
That to me is major expectation.
You got to have major. It. I've had a chance to talk about this for a long time, and number one, I want all of us to be aware of this. Do we really believe that God is going to do what He say?
That's it.
Do we really believe that? We go to church mm-hmm. out of routine. Mm-hmm. Y'all can fuss at me. Y'all, you don't know. I'm just saying we go because that's what we do on Sunday. We already have in our mind we're going to go and praise, and we're going to go and hear what Pastor got to say. But the bottom line is, do you believe that when you are gathered together with the body of believers, do you really believe that something's going to happen that day that you go that's going to change your life? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be effective to change somebody else's life that day? Do we go to church on Sunday or whatever day we go and have an expectation that God is going to use us to impact somebody else's life? Or do we go that we want to get our lives impacted? I want to hear a word from the Lord. I want to be used of the Lord.
Amen.
Of course I want to hear the word. I want that word to be a nuclear bomb in me. Mm-hmm. So this is going to move me past myself to help somebody else. When it explodes, it already do what it need to do for me.
Yeah.
It does. When it explodes, it tears up every side. Inside everything in me, and then now I want it to tap somebody else. I want this same thing. You know, when I get a word, I can't help it. I'm gonna tell Betty, I did get on the phone sometime. I called folks, I said, boy, I got a word. I can't hold it. You know, now I hold it from y'all, but I mean, you know, other folk, boy, I had to wear it out because mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's the way it is. So I'm just saying to you, when you're looking at these scriptures, put yourself in here. And that was good. Now you got a witness. Can't nobody, you already know when you're in one accord and you got this thing going in one place. Now that place, he was out of town, but the place was, they were connected. That was the place. And it happened. And I like it when it says suddenly. Everybody got a different testimony about when the power of God fell upon them. Mm-hmm. Now, I can ask anybody that speak in tongues. You know when it started. You know what you were doing when it started. And everybody wasn't tarrying at the altar. I'm just going to tell you, everybody wasn't tarrying at the altar. I wasn't. I had got hands laid on me, and I believe God was going to fill me with his spirit. And I had been tarrying for about a week and a half. I hadn't said not nothing. And I was on my way to Birmingham, Alabama, driving in the car. It was like a July or something, man. It was hot. And the Lord told me to roll my windows up. Man, I didn't have no air. I rolled the windows up. I'm going down I-20, man. I'm sweating. And I'm praising God and worshiping him. Because, you know, main thing, I'm wondering, why you got me with the windows rolled up? I'm sweating and everything. And, man, I bust out at around Douglasville, and I spoke in tongues all the way to Birmingham, about 2 hours worth, ooh, man. And when I got to Birmingham, I wasn't sweating. The windows were still up. And I'm just saying, I was in a whole another framework and place. And I went and prophesied to my mom about some things and got a chance to talk to some people and witness to some people. And I've been on fire ever since. So I'm just, you know, everybody got a different testimony of how it come. But I was in that place. I was in that place, and I realized a long time after that when I rolled them windows up, I isolated myself from the world. Mm-hmm. I cut out noise. I cut out other traffic. I cut out trucks, and I cut out all of that, and it was me and him just riding down that road, you know. And so that's just my testimony. I know people got different testimonies of how it come. You know, I heard people just be praying, and then it, you know, in the morning, and it break out. Some was at church, broke out. You know, some was just talking to people, man, and in the midst of them going back and forth, like you said, boom, it happens. So, you know, when you it comes suddenly, you know, and a lot of times you ain't gonna know when it happened. And
it's something that's required, though.
Expectation and desire.
Because a lot of people I know have been in church. I believe that they're true Christian, but they've never spoken in tongues.
Okay, well, again, that's desire. Mm-hmm. You know, that's desire. Now,
it's also teaching.
Yeah.
It's the doctrine of that particular faith,
mm-hmm,
that they're in that doesn't go along with what is said here.
And I had a landlady.
It's a doctrine.
Yeah, when I lived in D.C., I stayed with her when I was in college for maybe 1 year or so. She was in a Baptist church. And she said that the Spirit hit these two ladies, these sisters, and they spoke in tongues. And it's like they were sort of forced out, mm-hmm, because they didn't do that, mm-hmm, in that church.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because
I sure know I needed them.
All right, let me just ask some more questions here. We probably won't get too much further, but... Jesus. Because there's a lot in this. When it says there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, does anybody else know where that wind was mentioned?
What about
one?
Elisha, or Elijah.
That's what
it was out there.
Yep.
Wasn't in
a
rushing mighty wind. His voice.
Mm-hmm.
Was out.
What? Any more?
Enoch was taken up in a rushing.
In a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. All right. Y'all got another one?
I would think that when, you know, Jesus left and those two men were just standing down. It don't say that it made the sound, but.
No.
Just thinking about that.
Come on. We talked about it in John. We talked about it in John. Nicodemus.
Oh, yeah.
Nicodemus came.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you looking. Nicodemus came and said, Teacher, Rabbi, we know you sent from heaven. And what did Jesus tell him? He said, you must be born again. And he said, well, how can I go back in to my mother's womb? Then he broke it down to him. He said, when the wind comes, you don't know where it come from,
oh, yeah,
or where it go, but it's there, right?
Right.
So suddenly, we got a sound from heaven, and what was that sound of heaven like? A mighty rushing wind.
I have a, going back to Acts 1 and 8, where we read, "Ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is upon you, and you will be my witness, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." Now in Acts 2:1, the Holy Spirit is coming upon them. He, you know, if you go back, he is telling you, you're going to receive this power when the Holy Spirit comes. Now we see that the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and they are speaking in tongues, but yet I'm not going to get any further.
Thank you.
But they're speaking in tongues. But you, as you go down, you'll see the power of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, a lot of times when you're witnessing to people, and you know, we always tell them they're going to get the power of the Holy Spirit, but we need to tell them what it's for, what they're supposed to do with it.
Right.
And they're to be witnesses when they get it, you know.
But it doesn't say they were praying, or do we assume that they was praying?
It already said back. You want me to take you back to it? It said they were in there praying, dear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
They were praying.
They were praying. Holy Spirit just didn't come in there.
No, they were praying.
They prayed it in there. I'm telling you. On one accord.
They were praying.
Some powerful prayers.
They were praying. Now, let me throw some facts in here. Now, I want you to look at this. A lot of this stuff, God showed me this stuff. I'm like, wow. But let me just share something with you. It says, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Mm-hmm. What filled the house?
The Holy Spirit.
It was the wind. The wind filled the house.
Mm-hmm.
They're in here praying, and all of a sudden, here comes the wind. And look what it says next. And there appeared unto them. Now, in the midst of all this that was going on, all of a sudden, they see something that lights on all of them. And now, if you look at a flame today, it has a base, and then it comes up to a point, pretty much like a drop in a way. But, you know, you may have a little extra branching out of it. It says, as cloven tongues of fire, that's like fire, that's set up upon each of them. The wind's blowing. They sitting here. This is some kind of experience. Yeah. I thought to myself, I'm like, God know how to do it, don't he?
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're in this place. Mm-hmm. The room's shaking. It feels like you're in a storm, but nothing's blowing away. And all of a sudden they look around, and then you got what it looks like fire sitting on top of their head.
And that was their best way of describing
what
it looked like to them.
Right.
You know, that was just the best way they could explain it.
Yeah.
Cause it
to
may
us
not,
in our time.
Right, because it really may have been a refreshing in there. But to them it was like a wind blowing. It could have been that's all that they had. It's just like in Revelations when they talk about it looked like grasshoppers, it looked like stuff. Do you realize that a helicopter can look like a grasshopper in the sky?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now we all off base, but I'm just saying the symbolism is what we're looking for here. A lot, they're doing the best that they could do to explain what was going on. What was going on.
One of the things in here, even though all of this, they were on one accord, but guess what was missing? They were not afraid. Because the Holy Spirit had come upon them, and they were not afraid. Even though all this stuff would have made the ordinary person scared, but there's no fear in this room.
And see, that's what made me think that it wasn't really a wind. It was a piece of God that was rushing all around. And that's not fearful. I've never been in God's presence and been fearful at all.
Amen.
Ever. You know, when the anointing is in there, boy, it's the best place in the world to be, man. It's just sweet and just, oh my goodness, I love that part.
What point?
Not really my point, but I want you to just meditate on this. If anybody wants to comment, the word that said a sound, as a sound from heaven. And some of these winds that people hear, you know, if it's a tornado or something, those sounds are not necessarily what we would think would be a sound from heaven. But people begin to hear that sound before that storm actually hits. So I'm wondering, what would a sound with the wind of heaven sound like?
It wouldn't sound like anything they had heard of before. That's why they attributed it to a sound from heaven. You know, in it had to be a peaceful type of thing to say that it came from heaven. If you're talking about when a tornado comes, it sounds like a freight train. Mm-hmm. And I've been within two blocks from one. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you're right there by a railroad track and you hear it rolling along. Now, I've heard that don't come from heaven. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, anything that comes from heaven is going to be peaceful. It's going to have joy. And it's, you know, it's going to have a non-fearful kind of presence to it. And, of course, let's go to four because my time is gone. But we're going to touch on four to finish that up. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we're going to really wear that out next week, but let's try to get a good punch in now. I'm moving a little bit ahead. There were a lot of different people that were gathered at that Pentecostal festival, and why people were there. And so now, what did he say that they were going to do when they got filled? They were going to be witnesses, right?
Right.
So how are you going to be a witness if you can't talk to somebody and give them proof or validate what the scriptures have said and what they have seen? Mm-hmm. So
that's good.
So it had to happen like that so that when they went out there, what he said was going to happen, happened. That they got a chance to witness both to folks from Jerusalem, folks from Judea, folks from Samaria, folks from all other sides of town. They heard it in their own language, and we're going to get into it because God has given you a language and a tongue that some people are ready to listen to. And when you get that power, you can go on out there, and whether it be Ebonics or whatever it is, they're going to be able to understand
it.
Because the Spirit of the Lord is going to give you understanding. What did Moses say? What am I going to say? He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'm going to give you what to say. Then he said, I can't talk. He said, well, I'm going to give you somebody to talk for you. All right. All hearts and minds. Any more questions? Well, I'll tell you, we had a good one today. I love it. Portia?
Portia's just a student today.
She got something to say in there, trust me.
She's eating.
Tell me she's eating.
Yes, sir.
You're eating the word.
Yes.
All right.
Spiritual food.
Right.
The real deal.
All right. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for all of these that have come. We thank you, Lord, that we've had a chance to sit at your table and break the bread of life. And, Lord, let us understand that it's our willingness and our desire and our great expectation that moves your hand to help us to do what we're supposed to do. We thank you for it. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And as we leave this place, we're not from your presence. We ask that you encamp your angels round about us to protect us and go to our next destination, and we'll be careful to give you alone all of the praise, all the honor, all the glory and adoration. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and everybody said amen.
Amen. Amen.